From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is the Craig Needles Podcast here at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca, and wherever you get your podcasts. The Craig Needles Podcast is powered by our friends over at Downtown London. And of course, our friends at the Covent Garden Market. And lo and behold, who is in the studio with me today but our friends over at the Covent Garden Market. I want to talk about the new partnership with this podcast, with Classic Rock 98.1, that is going to be happening at the Covent Garden Market. We have a studio there. It's very exciting. It's right in the heart of London's entertainment district. Amy Shackleton, the general manager of the market, and John Fife Miller, the board chair for the market, kind enough to join me in studio to talk about that very exciting stuff today. Hello, both of you. Thank you for this.
Super stoked to be here.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for having us.
This is going to be really, really fun, really exciting. So on Friday, Classic Rock 98.1, the afternoon show, which I host, Jay and Rabin in the morning and middays with Kate Wright, all going to be broadcasting from the market. We're going to be broadcasting at the market pretty regularly, including my afternoon show every Friday. It's not going to quite happen yet, but the Craig Needles Podcast Friday Roundtable will be recorded from the Covent Garden Market every Friday going forward, starting roughly maybe end of this month, into the spring. Either way, we're going to be doing that. So it's really cool. It's really exciting. Amy, this has all come together for us. It's taken its time. Obviously, sometimes you run into roadblocks, but we're here. It's exciting. Just tell us how the folks at the market are feeling about us here at Blackburn Media moving in there.
Well, we're all very excited. We're excited to see the space activated again, to have you guys in there doing your live shows, podcasts, people coming in through the Knights games and all the events and festivals that we have going on. So we're just ecstatic. The vendors are excited and we're can't wait.
I can't wait either. I love the idea of just me hanging out there on outside on some Saturday afternoon when there's a festival going on right outside the market. I like the idea of me hosting shows from there right before big events, big concerts, big hockey games at Budweiser Gardens. John, it's going to be really fun, really cool.
Oh, I think this is great for the market. I think it's great for that district to have this going on. And, you know, when you look back, one of the things I have to say is when you look at the creation of ideas like this, these ideas always come from the I'm going to say, the most unique run-ins at the end of the day. Craig, you and I had a chance to talk about this over a beer last summer.
Yeah.
And that's how it came out.
And we didn't even, like, plan on talking about it. We were just, like, going back and forth about the media landscape in the city. And you were like, and I was like, hey, it would be cool if, you know, if we could move our stuff in there. And you're like, yeah, that would be cool. Then we kind of took it back to our people. And it was just kind of a, like, just throwing stuff at the wall idea.
Well,
and here we are.
And I think that's it. And you know, I have to give Amy and her team a lot of credit.
Yeah.
When Amy came in, we're really getting a lot of outside the box thinking, hey, what's going to work for us? What works for us and what works differently? Just because we've been doing it for a long time doesn't mean we have to continue to do it. And I think, like, I mean, I'm listening to the radio station on a regular basis. I'm hearing a lot of advertising for the market on the radio station, which we know the vendors are excited about, which we know that the public's excited about. So I think at the end, this is great for the market. It's great for the downtown. It's great for that district.
I think it's going to be really awesome. And I want to give some credit to the folks on my team as well. John Eiser, our general manager, and the Ron Dan, the president of our company, and the people that are calling the shots here at Blackburn Media, because I've worked places before, and we all know where I've worked before, where I would have taken an idea like this and said, hey, this is going to be really incredible. I think we can do some great things. This would be great for the radio station, great for our brands. And I kind of would have been just like, okay, great, Craig. And I would have been shuffled off to the side and that would have been it. That's not what happened here. Here is, Craig, this is a great idea. We got to do it. You know what I mean? So, and everyone's excited about it. And I think that we're all on the same page here as far as how really cool and how really fun this can be, Amy.
Definitely. It's great for the community, great for the market. I love that Blackburn's the only local radio station. The market's all about local as well. So it's just a great partnership.
And the way that we're talking about it is it's in the heart of London's entertainment district. And it really is. Budweiser Gardens, right across the street. London Music Hall, mere steps away. Summertime when we get to Rock the Park and the other events going on at Harris Park, right around the corner from the Covent Garden Market. So really, this is a great home base for us to be close to all these things that are happening. And that, by definition, means that if you're going to these things, the market's a great place to visit before or after whatever it is you're doing, right?
That's right. Exactly. We're open. We're open 7 days a week. So there's always time to pop in before that show, before the Budweiser Gardens, or catching a show before the Grand. So come on in. We'd love to see you.
And like you said, 7 days a week, there's parking on the weekends. There's all sorts of reasons why the market's a great spot. And I think that, I'm not going to say the market's underutilized. Everyone in the city knows what the market's all about. But this is just another example of, hey, really cool things can be happening while you're here, while you're around here, John.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I think part of the piece that we're seeing with the market right now, and I've got, again, working with the board, we've been talking about utilizing the space a little bit better. That was a corner that definitely is a corner that was underutilized and has been underutilized for a long time. So what this does is, number one, it breathes life into that area. But I think one of the other unique features about your space is it has outdoor access. Outdoor access is great in the market. And I think it's something that we're learning that, hey, we can utilize these better. The market might be closed, but how do we utilize that outdoor access space to actually make that functional in off hours, which I think is going to be a great opportunity for us.
Yeah, and we've got some ideas, which I'm not going to give away all of right now, but we've got some plans as far as what we might be doing in off hours. And yeah, I'm looking forward to all the different festivals that are going to be happening around there. It's just, it's a really great space, and there's a lot to be excited about. Just give us some examples, Amy, some things that are going to be happening sort of in the next few months at the market.
Oh my goodness. Well, we have a full lineup happening here at March break for the kids. We have Taco Fest, Colombian Festival in the summer, lots of mom market. You know, the list goes on. All events are listed on our website, so you can look ahead and see what's happening. But we have a lot going on all the time.
I can't wait to hear Craig Needles on the radio reporting on wrestling in the center square of Market.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that one, too.
I'm excited. Let me tell you, I was at Taco Fest this past summer, so summer of 2023. And this was just after you and I had started talking about, hey, you know, and I think that I chatted with you a little bit about it, Amy, as well. Like, hey, it'd be cool if we can move in the market. We'll see what happens. And I'm at Taco Fest just there because I like tacos and I like wrestling, right? And I'm watching the wrestling thinking, man, it'd be cool if I was on the radio talking about this right now. Like, just kind of daydreaming a little bit. And here we are. It's,
well, maybe we could get you in the ring.
Yeah.
All right, that's something I'm willing to consider, but I'm going to have to clear that with various attorneys and so forth. I don't know if I quite have the ability, but I will consider the idea of getting. I'll be special guest referee.
There you go.
Yeah,
like
we
it.
Can do that. So watch out for me as special guest referee when the Covent Garden Market has their wrestling ring up coming up this summer for Taco Fest, which was a really, really great time last year. I'm sure it will be again in 2024. Is there anything else that either of you want to get to or make sure we talk about during our chat here as we look forward to Friday and sort of the grand opening of the Blackbird Media Studios at the Covent Garden Market?
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to add is, as much as we have lots of different events and activities happening, just remember that our vendors are there 7 days a week. We've got, you know, butchers, a cheese counter, and, you know, the list goes on. So make sure to pop in the market and visit for those vendors as well.
I think that's great. And Craig, I'm going to come back to you and your team that, you know what, I want to say that we really thank you for you guys for taking the step to do this. I'm a big believer that when you look at our downtown, what transforms our downtown is little nuggets that we place around our downtown that will have impactful, meaningful changes. I think this is one of them. Mm-hmm. I think adding this to the market is going to make a difference in how we utilize and how we use our downtown. And I think that goes back to Blackburn buying into an idea. It goes into Amy saying, you know what? Yeah, let's get on the radio and let's try the radio. And I think it goes to our board, and I want to thank the board members for being willing to listen to things outside what we are normally doing and saying, no, let's give this a go and let's try it. So I think it brings everything together. But I think this is meaningful change in our downtown.
Well, we talk about it all the time, and this is kind of more of a big picture thing, but we talk about feet on the street all the time, John.
Yeah.
And
this is
feet on the street. And, you know, cranes in the sky are great, and that's badly needed in our downtown, and there's some spaces right near the market where there are cranes in the sky right now. Awesome. But Cranes in the Sky are great, but when people, there's got to be reasons for people to move down here and fun things going on down in the core. And we're hoping to see if we can provide that and highlight that, right? So that's, I think everybody's going to win with this.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And looking forward to the mayor of London, Josh Morgan, actually going to come by for our grand opening. A bunch of other fun guests that we're going to have, including both of you going to be on the air on Friday. So looking forward to that as well. When the studio at the Covent Garden Market owns, so Classic Rock 98.1, again, broadcasting there all day on Friday, we're going to have all sorts of Covent Garden Market gift cards to give away. We're going to have downtown London gift cards. There's going to be Eagles tickets to give away. We got lots going on there. Plus, of course, the Craig Needles podcast we recorded there pretty regularly. We're not exactly sure when that's going to happen yet. There's supply chain issues, we'll just say. But when it happens, we're all excited for that, too. So, John, Amy, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this with us. As I'm sure anyone listening can tell, I'm really excited about it, and I know the both of you are as well. So we're pumped and ready to go.
Absolutely, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday.
There we go.
Definitely. Very excited. Thank you.
That's Amy Shackleton and John Fife Miller, who, of course, are with the Covent Garden Market. John's the board chair. Amy's the GM. And we are really excited to get going at the Covent Garden Market coming up on Friday. More of the Craig Needles podcast coming up after we paused. You're going to highlight a very interesting story from the London Health Sciences Center that has come out in regards to a rare form of cancer, male breast cancer. We're talking about how LHSC is treating that and sort of some of the steps in treating what is, a relatively speaking, rare medical occurrence. That's on the other side of this here on the Craig Needles podcast, which, of course, is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at downtown London. We continue now on the Craig Needles podcast. Want to shift our focus to a health story going on in the community. You may have seen Brian Lynch's story in the media. Brian is someone who has battled male breast cancer, and after that occurrence, has had to try and help other people who may be going through the very same thing. And he joins us here on the Craig Needles podcast to discuss his care at London Health Sciences Center and at his hospital in St. Thomas and a whole lot more surrounding male breast cancer. Brian, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate your time on the Craig Needles podcast today.
Thank you.
So just first tell us about the way that your health journey has gone here. How'd this go from everything is fine to I'm a cancer patient and now to where we are today?
Well, on December the 29th, 2020, I came in from shoveling snow outside after dinner. It was cold. I went in my bedroom and I was changing my clothes and I noticed that my right nipple was completely flat and inverted, even though I was cold as can be. I touched it, nothing happened. I went in the kitchen, got some ice, rubbed on it, nothing happened. And as I think back, I remember summer and fall of 2020, that nipple would not be fully erect when the other one was. And it seemed to me, is this just a normal thing for a man my age? But this tonight, that night, was completely different. It never, ever came back. I was watching a show on television, and I kept thinking about it until I couldn't stop. And I went downstairs to the computer and I typed in what would cause a man's nipple to be flattened or inverted. Several things popped up, and the worst of them was breast cancer. So I typed in breast cancer symptoms, and several items popped up on what would be symptomatic of male breast cancer. That was the first one. And as the next 4 months passed, one by one, more of those symptoms began to show their face. And until the middle of April, I actually found a lump.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So once that occurred, what were your next steps and how did you react?
So I'm a retired high school teacher and I supply teach. I was working that week and I showered and I found this lump, and I after work that day I came home and I called my family doctor's office. The girl said, is it a hard, small, pea-sized lump? And I said, no, it's larger, it's fleshy, like the size of your baby finger pad. And I said, she says, well, don't play with it. She said, the doctor will want to see you. Now, keep in mind, this is COVID. You weren't able to see right. The doctor or anybody else. So she said he would want to see you on Monday. I hung up. I went in the bathroom. I felt that lump again. I took my shirt off and felt it. And then I moved my hand around my breast area and dug in, and lo and behold, was a small, hard, pea-sized lump. So I had two lumps, and the one that I didn't want, I had just found, and I knew definitively that it was going to be a diagnosis of breast cancer. And when I saw the doctor the following Monday, he didn't seem quite so concerned. I said, yeah, that's not the lump I want you to feel, though. And when he did feel it, his eyes just glazed over and looked so serious. And he said, you're going to need to have a mammogram as soon as possible. And that Friday, I had a mammogram.
So I'm glad that you were able to get that done so quickly. It must have been kind of a whirlwind for you, though. And I know that there's kind of stigma surrounding breast cancer for men. And it clearly, we all know that breast cancer impacts a decent number of women. I think a lot of us would know a woman who's been impacted by breast cancer, but it's a lot more rare for a man. So it would have moved very quickly for you, and probably would have been pretty shocking for you in the moment, too, right?
Well, you're right. One in eight women are diagnosed with breast cancer, and one in 934 men are diagnosed, according to the Quebec Breast Cancer Foundation. And when I went into the mammogram department at the hospital, my local hospital in St. Thomas, everything was pink. Everything was very nice, and very feminine, it mm-hmm. seemed, as institutional as that is there. I felt like somebody that was, completely out of my element. It's an experience for a man to go through, because there are women there, and it was the first in the journey of realizing how non-inclusive and it can be in a situation like that for a man this time. So going through all that, I had the mammogram, the ultrasound, the biopsy, all on the same day, and then a week later, I had the official diagnosis from my family doctor, and I remember that one of the first things I thought about was, as you said, like, oh, here I am. How am I going to navigate as a male having a disease that is almost 100% attributed to women? And that's the stigma and the shame that men with breast cancer feel, and that's why they are silent about it.
Yeah, that's I think part of what we want to discuss here is that there might have been men in your situation who would have perhaps had the same symptoms of you as you did, or the same issues you did, and not said anything about it to a doctor or anybody else because there is that stigma around it. Maybe they would have seen it as embarrassing or not manly or whatever it is, right? That's part of the conversation here.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, without being stereotyping, men are notorious for not going to the doctor when
that
things.
That is a fact, yes.
And the Petone Project is as much for women as men, or partners of those men, because I have talked to men, I've talked to women mostly, but some men who have told me about someone in their family, a male that's had a lump. I talked to a lady one time. She said he's had three lumps in his breast area, chest area, for over 2 years and never done anything about it, and would die if he had breast cancer. And I says, well, if he doesn't go to the doctor, he might die. And that's the thing. I had a bad thing happen, but I had the best possible outcome. And I'll tell you why. Because I knew something was different. Something was wrong. I could see it. I could feel it. I looked into it. I did everything I could as soon as I could. And I got an early detection, diagnosis, early treatment. And when Dr. Bettoni did his labs after my surgery, he came back on the end of the week and said, Brian, you are cured. We got everything. And the thing is with men too, what man would ever imagine they should self-screen, okay? But men have don't have the dense breast tissue that a woman has. So, you know, things that show up on a man, again, not ever thinking, gee, I wonder if that could be breast cancer, are often ignored as, it's just a cyst, or it's just an ingrown hair. But if if it's not normal, it probably isn't normal. And get to a doctor. That is the most important thing.
And that's great advice. Don't be too proud and get to a doctor when it's important. You've mentioned the Batoni project a few times here, but get more specific on that about sort of the background of that and why you want to talk about that with us on the podcast today.
There is literally no research, no education, no awareness or support for male breast cancer in Canada. In the States, there is a larger network for it, but here, nothing. And when I was sick, I would have loved to have spoken to another man. But as I speak to you today, I will tell you, I have never seen or spoken to another man in Canada who's ever had breast cancer. And statistically, of 270 men last year were diagnosed, 55 will have died. So over 10 years, that's 2,000 men out there, maybe alive with a past of breast cancer. And I'm the only voice and the only one talking about it. And so when I was sick and the chemotherapy I took as a preventative chemotherapy, four rounds, I was very, very sick with it. It's a brutal, brutal treatment, and ended up in the hospital even. But I remember thinking, and though I had the love and the support and care of my family, our my friends and my neighbors, I was alone and, you know, struggling with not knowing things or just wanting to talk to somebody who's been through it. And I said to my surgeon, Dr. David Batoni, I said to him in October, I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. Somebody's got to do something. And I said, as much as I hate any attention on myself, and it isn't a pleasurable thing to talk publicly about my nipples, I do think that I have to be that voice. And he supported me 100%. He encouraged me and offered to you know, do whatever he could for me in this quest. And so therein was the birth of the Batoni Project. And I named it for him because he was the most extraordinary healthcare provider that I had ever had. Even in COVID, he was doing stuff that my family doctor would do if I was seeing him as regularly as I saw Dr. Batoni. He was just amazing. And every patient who has him will tell you the same thing. He's so skilled. He's the go-to breast cancer doctor in St. Thomas Hospital. Not that they all aren't great, but he is who my family doctor wanted me to go to. And when he did my surgery, he was even able to skillfully save my nipple. And so if I took my shirt off, really, my affected side doesn't look all that much different than the non-affected side. So he's just extraordinary. And so he has been my partner, and then the foundation at the hospital in St. Thomas got wind of us. We had an interview, I did at least, and they said, if you would be willing to raise money for our MRI fund, we will support you as well. We'll give you a website. So we've kind of had a friendship with the foundation there. But we do our own stuff on the side to bring awareness, because that's our number one thing. But we also are trying to raise money for that MRI campaign.
It's a fantastic cause. If people want to find it online, how do they do it? Where is the ways that you can do it? I know that the St. Thomas Elgin General Hospital Foundation has it on their website. Is that the best way to find it?
Yeah, they can go on that. They could just Google the Batoni Project and it'll take it right there. They can email me the Batoni Project at rogers.com as well. Mm-hmm. And ask questions or whatever. And you know, so that would be perfect. What would be really awesome, Dr. Batoni is an avid motorcyclist, and last year as a fundraiser, he created the Batoni Ride that Rocky's Harley Davidson hosted. And we had a lot of community support, political support, friends and family and acquaintances from even my childhood showed up and supported the ride. We didn't have the numbers of motorcycle riders that we had wanted to make it the success we had hoped for. And we're hoping this year people who have motorcycles will join us on August 17th, registration at 10 o'clock at Rocky's for the second annual ride. And we would really be grateful for that.
That is a fantastic note. And obviously, you gave the email address, so people want more details, they can go there. I did want to go over the numbers real quick with you, Brian, before we wrap up here. And according to the Canadian Cancer Society, less than 1% of breast cancer cases in Canada each year occur with a man. So that's about 260-ish cases last year. And out of that, about 20-ish percent, roughly, a little bit different than that, will die because of breast cancer. So really, it's a small fraction that we're talking about here. But that's kind of what makes this so dangerous, that people don't expect it. There's a stigma surrounding it. And there are a small number of folks, as you've outlined here, who would be impacted this way, who are men. So I guess that's all part of the conversation. We're looking at what the Batoni Project's all about. We're looking at the conversation you and I are having about breast cancer in men, right?
Well, let me clarify something. That statistic changes.
Right.
Last year, it was estimated to be 270. This year, they're estimating 260. And I tell people this: if 260 people were killed in a plane crash, we would be talking about that for decades to come. That
true
number of people, that is just 1 year of men affected. And it's not just those affected and those who die. There are genetic mutations in breast cancer that are transferred down the bloodline. So if you're a man and your mother, your grandmother, your aunt, your sister, your cousin has had breast cancer, you are at risk too, if only to pass it on to your children. But who tells that? What man is ever asked by his family doctor, hey, do you have breast cancer in your family? I've had 7 family doctors, and never once was I asked that question. So men have to be aware that they are at risk and or at risk of passing it down. And if I'm a man who's got that BRCA gene, for example, mutation in my family tree from the women that have been in our family, I should be telling my family, I should know that by just the fact that all those women have had it, but I should be telling my family doctor, and he should be charting that and maybe having me at a certain age go for a mammogram just to check and do that regularly. But that never happens. No one ever talks about that fact and those populations as well.
Well, that's a very good spot to leave it, and I appreciate the conversation, Brian. Is there anything else that you want to add, or anything else that you want to make sure that we all know about before we wrap up our chat?
I just would like people to understand, if they see the blue and pink ribbon that represents male breast cancer, because it's our identity. And I also would love that people, it's a great story. It's my story, but you've only heard my story. There are many men out there who have their own versions, and we need to help bring those men out to talk and feel comfortable. And I think that if the public, I've said to other people, if our professional sports teams of male celebrities would encourage people, would take on this cause as on their social media and say, hey, yeah, we support the Batoni Project, get your breast self-screening and whatever, I think men will feel more comfortable about telling their story and coming out of the weeds and being part of this, because this is for them as much as anybody.
Thank you so much for this, Brian. It was an important conversation. I'm glad you could spend a few minutes with us today.
Thank you, Craig. I really appreciate your support.
That's Brian Lynch, who has been a patient at the London Regional Cancer Program with the London Health Sciences Center, and also in St. Thomas as well, at St. Thomas Elgin General Hospital, joining us here on the Craig Needles podcast to talk about breast cancer. And again, if you're wanting the name of that organization he was talking about, the Batoni Project, it's BOTTONI Project. And if you want more information about that, you can Google it. And again, it's on the St. Thomas Elgin General Hospital Foundation website. That's all the time we have on this episode of the Craig Needles Podcast, which, of course, is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at downtown London. The Craig Needles Podcast is available at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.